On America Can We Talk, I talk about election integrity, border security, healthcare freedom, race relations, energy and tax policy, education policy, free speech and assembly, freedom of religion, and all other issues that touch on the God-given right of every American to life, liberty, and the pursuit of their version of happiness. Stay tuned. You preach your tolerance, but lecture me. Is there no end to your own hypocrisy? Your God is power, you have no shame. Your only interest is political gain. You hide your eyes and refuse to listen. You play your game.
Coming up next, America Can We Talk with your host, Debbie Georgiatos.
And hello and welcome to America Can We Talk. I'm Debbie Georgiatos. Thank you so very much for tuning in. So glad you could join us. I feel like I say the same line every Thursday. I love our Thursday shows because we have one or two guests, but we have one theme for an hour, one group we're talking to, and they always, we just end up having wonderful conversations, and they all tie back to the purpose of my talk show, which is to save America. As I've said many times, I don't talk about football, fashion, anything foofy. All I talk about is saving America and the many, many things people, patriots, need to do to save America. And so we have two guests joining us in studio today who have done just a wonderful and kind of unique project. It's called the True Texas Project. If you live in Texas, you've probably heard of it, but nationwide, one reason I want to have these two guests on is that what they do is really extraordinary and kind of acting outside of the Republican Party, outside of straight party politics, but really inspiring people to get involved in the process, to learn more about how the process works. And they just do some amazing and a wide array of projects. And I love the idea, not only what they do here, how many people get involved, people learn new things, they hear new speakers, but also this idea, I'm going to ask them, but I think could be replicated other places, and activists getting on board with the idea that we the people, we the patriots, we're the ones who have to save America. So with that, I'd like to welcome to the show Julie McCarty and Fran Rhodes.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you.
Well, thank you both for being here, and I mentioned True Texas Project. And I could read the lengthy piece on your website to describe, but you know, I will tell you that people hear about issues are concerned about, and they turn to their Republican Party, which is fine, or whatever party they like, but they turn to their party, get involved in party politics, but it seems like so many people don't want to get involved if you say it's a party. I'm not really political. But when you talk to them about the issues and what's going on in their lives, then they might get drawn in and they might get more engaged. So I want both of you talk. I think it may start with Julie. I meant to give a little bit of your background. Actually, this is a relevant background, which is she founded originally back in the days of the Tea Party, the Tarrant, which is a county here in Northeast Texas. Northeast Tarrant Tea Party in 2009, one of the many Tea Parties around the country I know why I went to Tea Party meetings back in those days, because I was concerned I didn't see responsiveness on the part of Republicans in Washington to what I saw as a very dangerous president, taking actions, engaging in policies, pushing agendas that were inconsistent with America's founding ideals. So Tea Party got rolling, people were sending messages. Well, this woman here today, Julie McCarty, founded the Tarrant Tea Party. It became a huge presence in Texas, influential, active, and actually they engaged in litigation arising out of the concern that they could not get their 501c3 status, which we talked about at length on this show with other Tea Party people. So let's just start with that. Julie, let me go back to that. How did you even get the idea? How did you get started creating a Tea Party?
It was really kind of by accident, right? So there was the whole Rick Santelli had his rant on the floor of the stock exchange, and he's like, we need another Tea Party. And I mean, I was probably like most of the people here and in America in general, knowing that there's something wrong with American politics, but I didn't really know much about it. But when he said we need another Tea Party, that resonated with me. I'm like, we do. We all need to figure out how to fix this mess. And so I went to a Tea Party on the courthouse lawn in Dallas County, and they said, we want to start a Tea Party in every zip code in Texas. And who will help us? And I was like, I'm a stay-home mom. My daughter was 1.5, I think, at the time. And I was like, I have time and I love to organize. And so I said I would do it. And I mean, I had to learn along the way. So that's one thing I really like to talk to people about when they talk about politics. They're like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I didn't either, but you have to start somewhere. And we love, as True Texas Project, to take people from zero to hero in their political walk. So
love that, zero to hero. And I was at that meeting in Dallas, also that rally in Dallas.
Oh yeah,
that Tea Party rally. And you know, to me, the idea of the choosing the term Tea Party, it really made the point, not just about a sense of some kind of rabble-rouser group, but people who had a deep and genuine concern and a notion that, why is it this is happening in Washington? Well, I will give Barack Obama credit for one thing. He caused more people to start to look back at the Constitution, at the Declaration, saying, can he do that? It was the talk, I mean, to mostly resonated with me, was the talk about what he was obviously intending to take over, you know, to have socialized medicine, to move America toward a control of the medical world, to have socialized medicine. And I remember thinking, for years, I often thought, thank goodness we can't have that here. But he was on that path, along with many other things he did.
Right.
So yeah, I was at that rally as well. So, and then that morphed into, eventually, what we'll talk about in the True Texas Project. Mm-hmm. But Fran, were you at that rally also? I don't know how you got involved.
I was not. I did attend a rally the same day in Southlake. It was a tax protest lobby. Rally.
Yes, it was.
And that's when I started getting interested too. I had never done anything like this at all, like Julie. I did have the benefit of learning from this lady, which has helped me a lot. But I jumped in with Northeast Tarrant Tea Party in the fall of that 2009.
Right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And started taking on more and more responsibility. And here I am, 15 years later.
Now she's running the show.
yeah, I know. On that subject of 2009, we will get into everything you're doing now, but I think it was really a turning point for a lot of people. I mentioned a moment ago, because they question, is the government in America really allowed to do this? And what is it, we the people, what's our role? And I began using the expression way back then that the Constitution meant, you know, the Declaration meant, we the people, we are the sovereign, we actually are in charge. Mm-hmm. But if we let the elected elites rule, you know, that we're not in charge anymore. Our job is to keep an eye on them, to tell them what we think and care about.
It's up to us, right?
Yeah, and that's why I love my theme music, I Am America. That was her whole point, that singer in that music was, you know, I Am America is whoever speaks up. Back to 2009, so there was that rally in the fall in Washington.
Oh, I was there, yes.
I was there too. That is so funny. I mean, it was a big rally. But, you know, it was funny. My husband actually had a business trip planned already. Uh-huh. And then that rally came along. And I said, well, in that case, I'm going to go with you. And then our daughter, who had just finished, a liberal college, had finished a liberal college. And she said, well, I'm not starting my job. I'll go along too. So we were there and we had, you know, signs. We're all ready to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And our daughter, who was just out of college, she was telling us in the hotel room, Mom and Dad, no one's going to be there.
Oh.
You're going to look foolish because you're carrying these idiotic signs around. Can't you roll them up or hide them? She had no idea until we got there. It was really
eye-opening. The most amazing experience of my life. I mean, the numbers I've heard were anywhere from 1.5 to 2 million people. And you know what Obama said? He's like, oh, was there a rally in D.C.? I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah.
He's a bull crap. So, yeah.
And I think I also remember sometime around that time that Obama had, I don't know if it was Joe the plumber or somebody else, had made a comment in media saying, you know, you can't do this. Whatever he was countering, I think it was maybe the bailouts or the socialized medicine and taxes, all that kind of stuff. And Obama actually called him and said, you know, why don't you come to the White House and tell me why you don't think, what's wrong, am I doing this? I truly think he thought, Obama, he was so powerful and so engaging and he mesmerized the masses, that the country would march along with what he was doing. He did not, but he really helped America wake up. I'll give him that much. Yeah. Okay, so now you had the Tea Party. That was fun, kind of stroll through history.
Yes.
So, but then you turned from the Tea Party to the True Texas Project. And so I think you began, just tell how that transitioned to that.
Sure. So at our 10-year anniversary, obviously the media did a beautiful job of tarnishing the name Tea Party, right? They labeled us all as extreme and racist and all these things. And so anytime you use the term Tea Party, you even had people in the GOP who agree with what we believe in thinking, oh, I got to distance myself. So we dropped the name Tea Party from our name. And then we were already a statewide organization, really, in effect, in terms of interviews and influencing policy and legislation and elections. And so we dropped Northeast Tarrant. And so we became True Texas Project. And we launched, we now have 18 locations all across the state.
Okay, so Fran, you started out in the coming to the Tea Party things and then morphing into True Texas Project. Is there one or two issues, are there one or two issues just grabbed you, or what drove you to get active?
No particular issue, just as Julie said, the feeling that we had to do something to turn this situation around. That's what got me started. I had never been involved. I had never even written a letter to a senator or a representative.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2010, I was told there were like 20 Democrat senators that were on the fence about Obamacare and they were thinking about not voting for it. In December, I wrote handwritten Christmas cards to all of them, begging them not to vote for this outrageous thing. That was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. But I hopped on board and took responsibility initially for their liaison program, which is where we assign people to go to school boards and city councils and things like that, just to, as a watchdog sort of thing. I later became vice president of fundraising. And then when we changed the name and relaunched as True Texas Project, I took on the job of president and Julie as CEO. And now we're just like,
let me just brag on Fran for a second.
So you certainly may.
Fran, this is why I love Fran, and I will never forget this. I love this story because I was doing, you know how it is when you start an organization, you pretty much do everything yourself.
Yes.
And I had this lady on our board that came up to me and she said, well, Julie, can't you just do this? And I said, no, I can't do this, whatever it was she was asking me to do. And she kept asking and asking and she wouldn't let it go. It's just one little thing, can't you? And Fran jumped in and she's like, Julie does enough. I was like, yes, thank you, Fran. So she had my back. She's always had my back and we work so beautifully together.
Oh, it's just a great, great thing. And I do want to, for our listeners who don't know anything about it, because probably most of our listeners around the country don't know anything about it, I said a moment ago, you know, you can go to Republican Party events, and heaven knows I do. And I know that you are 501c3 and C4, and you don't do any, you can't take political sides. You're not a political organization, or you're not a Republican or Democrat partisan organization.
Correct.
So I do understand that. But people who have conservative leanings, they tend to want to go to a Republican events. I've been to many, many countless Republican women's meetings and county party meetings and precinct chair and election judge and all those things that people do. And they are very helpful. They get some people engaged. But there are the people I know, and I always refer to, you know, moms I knew from the time our kids were in school who aren't political, and you know, they would say, oh, I don't think I'm gonna go to the, you know, garden club instead or something. Mm-hmm. Because the idea of it being a party thing, but when you tie what you're doing politically to something real in their lives, then I think then people are like, oh, okay, I'll go to a meeting to talk about, even if it's the local water board bill or something like that. But so what, just if you would, and I'll have both of you do this, but what are the range of things you try to touch on in Texas, the issues you try to touch on?
Oh, anything political, it all falls under us. But I think the hot button issues tend to be property taxes, the open borders. And by property taxes, I don't just mean it's so multi-tiered, right? With the local taxes, the city taxes, the county taxes, the
school
hospitals and the county colleges, and plus obviously the state has all their, you know, so that we're just taxed from every direction. And so that's almost always going to be the two hot topics. It's the border and the taxes.
And nowadays we have to add school choice to that.
Yeah.
Very, very hot topic. But we try to cover all issues that fall within our core beliefs. Unlike a lot of groups who, you know, just do the gun issue, or they just do the family issue, or they just
or abortion,
do abortion or medical freedom. And it's a pretty big job to try to have to stay on top of everything. But that's what people expect of us, because within our supporters, we have people that, you know, their main thing is immigration and border, and somebody else it's abortion. And we have to try to please them all. So it's a tall activity, but We've always said we're all about action. We don't just talk about stuff and complain about it. We do something about it. And I think that's what really, really draws people to True Texas Project, because we do stuff.
Yeah.
Since 2013, we have been leading groups of citizen advocates to the Capitol during legislative session. We testify at hearings. We talk to legislators. We write letters and postcards.
But we'll teach you how to do all that.
So that's what I want to get to. Yeah. All the issues. Well, first of all, you must do something touching on COVID. I assume you had some kind of medical tyranny focus, correct, or not really?
Yes and no. We don't ever really drill down into one specific issue, kind of like what Fran was saying. So there are great organizations all across Texas, really all across the nation, that are pro-life or pro, you know, vaccine choice and all these things, and we rely on them so heavily. So I like to call us, we're kind of like a clearinghouse. What is your issue? Julie, how do I get help with this issue? And I could say, oh, let me connect you with Rebecca Hardy at Texans for Vaccine Choice.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, and then when we go to Austin and we're working on legislative issues, we'll use their talking points. But we're able to draw a crowd. And maybe someone came to me and their issue was being pro-life, but now they're learning about the vaccine choice from us. And so now we're all cross-pollinating,
sure.
Right? So.
Yeah. And so on the idea of going down to Austin, you know, I think people, and again, I think there are millions of Americans and Texans deeply upset about the direction of our country, upset about what the government's doing.
Oh,
and
they
sit at the dinner table and talk to each other and realize, this is really bad, but they want to do something. And I love that your organization, you give them a way to do something.
Yes.
And not just to, I mean, heaven knows, I think that protests are a great thing. I think that, you know, it's standing up for whatever protest you want to go to. I think they send a message about, but to be effective in trying to change policy, it does require what you're talking about, going down to Austin. So how do you even round up people? I mean, how do you get people to join and go down there with you?
It's not always easy. We're always begging and pleading. Like, if we have 100 people show up at one of our meetings, we're super excited. But then you think, what's the population of Tarrant County? Like, there should be thousands of people showing up, because I know everybody is passionate about these issues. So I think one thing you touched on that I wanted to kind of go back to is the idea of somebody wanting to be involved in politics, but only knowing about the GOP. So like, I am not the kind of person that's ever going to show up at a GOP club meeting. To me, that's a very country club feel. It's a very rah-rah for whoever has been elected. And that's not who we are. So we're not just going to rah-rah somebody because they have the R by their name, right? We're going to hold them accountable. We're not just going to be a rubber stamp. We're not just going to have a social hour. We are going to do something. And so I think when people learn that, when they see an ad on Facebook or a friend tells them about us and they realize, wait, these people are just like me, then they want to hang out with us. And that's been true from the get-go, is that it's always been about, I'm around like-minded people now. I'm not alone. My ideas are not weird. There are so many people just like me. And when we all congregate and we get together, then we encourage each other. Our voice is stronger.
And back in the Tea Party days, we spent a lot of time and resources on getting the right people elected. And we were pretty successful at it. Mm-hmm. What we learned was we often get what we think's the right people elected, and then they get in the office and they totally disappoint us.
Yep.
So when we switched to True Texas Project, we also switched focus. Instead of getting the right people elected, we focus on holding them accountable, no matter who it is, whether it's our guy or the Democrat. It doesn't matter. If he's your elected representative, you need to work to hold him accountable for whatever it is he does or doesn't do.
Okay, I want to go back to something about the Republican Women's Club you said a moment ago. You know, it's a really funny thing. I think at this era in 2024, when people are so deeply concerned, I mean, I speak in terms, I dive way in depth on many issues in the show, and I try to get people to connect the dots between the foundational promise of freedom, freedom of speech, religion, et cetera, all America is, and what's actually happening over here. Because we used to have discussions in politics where kind of the sports analogy my husband uses, between the 40-yard lines. Just kind of, well, you know, they like higher tax, we like lower taxes. Mm. where leftists are headed in this country is way beyond what was ever intended for America. And I think that within even the Republican Women's Clubs and many other organizations, there's that yearning of we have to do something more than complain, and we have to be able to call out, you know, what this is not a policy dispute, that there are two equally valid sides to it, and many things are like that. Failure to enforce the border is a treasonous abandonment of our country. And we should say that. That's exactly. So even within the clubs, I would tell you, there are more people saying, Republican women's clubs, just saying, there's gotta be more activism, gotta be more fire in what we do, and not just rubber stamping. Well, they have an R by their name, so we're good with that.
I have definitely watched it morph through the years. So it used to be that GOP clubs, they didn't really want anything to do with us. Like, they would actually tell us to go away. You know, like, they hated us. And now more and more GOP clubs are like, Fran and Julie, can you come speak to our club? So, and I think it's because that line in the sand has become much more distinct.
Yeah.
And you have to choose. Am I for good or am I for evil?
Amen. Go
ahead. Can I share something about that? A few years ago, I was invited to come and speak to a small group that was part of a large Republican women's club. It's one of the biggest ones in Tarrant County. And they're a small group that get together and do food or something. And they wanted me to come tell about taking people to Austin during the legislative session. So I did, and I told them what we do. These are ladies that have been members of this club for 10, 20 years. And they sat there with their mouths open saying, you can actually do that?
Yeah.
You can go to Austin and like testify? And I'm like, yeah, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
So these ladies had never been told that that was a possibility, and several of them started going. So,
yeah, I think that, I keep going back the same way, that rebirth of patriotic energy is just, it's widespread in this country and within Texas, and people do feel like they finally realize if we don't speak up, there will be people who will limit our freedoms, who will, in the name of helping us or protecting us, take away our freedom and our capacity to function. So people feel more engaged, as I say, especially within the clubs, you see that more and more. And then this is why I want to go back to talking about your group. You energize people to get involved. So how do you, I'm asking this question in part because I'd love our listeners to think, well, if I lived in whatever state, how can I do this? How do you find people? How do you get it started?
Well, every month in our 18 different locations, we bring in a guest speaker, an expert on a topic that people can relate to. Like this month we have someone coming in that's a former DEA that's talking about the border and the drugs and the cartels, and people want to hear that because they care about the border. We've got another guy that's former military who talks about the woke military and how it's destroying America's armed forces. So people want to hear these things, so they'll come in, they'll listen to our speaker, and then we share our action. Every meeting has action items at the end of it, so we hook them.
So you have top, and so even to find these 18 locations throughout Texas, you've obviously over the years, people have come to you because they learn about this, I guess, online, and then they say, I'll lead a group in wherever it is, correct?
Yes.
And then they bring, through their social media, bring people in. It's like a web spreading.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we call it our True Texas Army, and I think it's significant because everywhere I go when I speak, this is what I tell people. If you were to call and you say, well, not you, because everybody knows who Debbie is, but if you were to call and say, hey, I'm, you know, Joe Blow, and I'm from such and such town, and I want you to vote against such and such bill, and then that person's aide is going to write down your name because they're legally required to write down where you stand and what your name is, and then they're going to forget all about it. But if you call and you say, hey, I'm Joe Blow and I'm with True Texas Project, well, there is nobody in Austin that doesn't know who True Texas Project is. And so when we combine our names, make bigger numbers with under one group name, we have a stronger impact. So we're building that army.
And you both go on these trips to Austin, or do both of you normally go?
She goes more than I do.
I kind of head up that program, so I go a lot. This last session, I was there every single Tuesday during session and several
other days. You go every Tuesday during the session?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
She's a rock star.
And some Wednesdays and Thursdays. But the other thing I was going to say is one of the ways we pull people in is our training. We do some really awesome training to help teach people. We get this all the time. I want to do something, but I don't know what to do or how to do it. Well, we teach people how to do it and what to do, and we've had a tremendous response from our training programs over the last 5 or 6 years, I guess.
Like what kind of things? I love this. I love it. I used to do workshops called Politically Speaking. just how to engage people who aren't political, just to talk about issues, not clobber them with vote my way, but what do you think the reason is? Just get them started. So what kind of workshops do you do?
We have a 4-hour class that we call Effective Citizen Advocacy, and that's all about what you just said, as well as what it's like to go testify at a committee hearing, or how to find your way around the Capitol, or talking to legislators. And then we do a constitutional boot camp every year in multiple locations where we teach people about the Constitution. That's a 4-hour
In layman's
class.
Terms. So it's not in like this boring terms. Snooze fest. Yeah. It's like an engaging class. And you walk away in 4 hours thinking, I never knew that about the Constitution.
People just rave about that.
Could I just jump in? Do you work with Rick Green to do that?
No, but we have sent people to his stuff. This is separate, but yeah, we love what Rick puts out.
Oh my gosh, yeah. He makes it. I mean, I'm totally nerdy. I love the Constitution. I mean, it's one reason I love Ted Cruz, because he memorized it. It's not the only reason I like him, but I mean, to know what it says is so powerful, and it's just been put in the back burner in public education. For the most part, kids don't learn it. So, excuse me, go ahead. I love hearing these programs.
What else? We have a class that we call True Texas Liberty, which talks about the differences between capitalism, socialism, Marxism, and how all of those things come together in the United States, free markets and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's one that Julie and her husband Fred teach. It's called TTP 101. It's just all about who we are, where we've been, and where we're going. Campaigns and elections.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And we have someone talk about, if you're running for office, tips on what you need to do and what to expect. If you're just wanting to help someone get elected, which is most of our people, what can you do effectively to help your favorite candidate get elected?
Yeah, I will tell you, on that subject also, because I know you both also do, a lot of public speaking, it is the number one question I get at the end is, tell me something I can do. Not something is great, I'll go home and tell my family and I might write a letter to the editor, but people want to feel engaged, and they want to feel, because everyone's busy, they want to feel it's impactful, that they're not just, you know, sitting around and in some meeting room and talking to other people who support this candidate. Give me something specific and meaningful, and they want to do it. And they want to do it on issues as well as on candidates. They want to feel like they're doing something. I just love that. So,
well, I wouldn't say though that it's not going to be quick and easy. So maybe you do go to a meeting and you go home and you tell your family about it. That's not insignificant, because they're going to talk to somebody about it, and they're going to talk. And so if you do that, then you come back the next month on the next topic, and then, you know, and it's a long-term plan. So.
It is. And related to that, you know, this where we find ourselves in America today, I've used the expression, what time it is in America. You know, we had a long train of kind of the rise of bigger government and less freedom and all that happened. We're not going to turn around with the best president, the best White House, Congress, Senate. It's the people who will turn things around. And it's not going to, you're exactly right, Julie, it's not overnight. It is a process of, because it's educating your fellow Americans to see it and then to think, I'm in my lane, whatever it is, or my place, I'm going to do my thing. It's a very important point. If you want to just fix everything tomorrow, then you should be an auto mechanic. You can fix the car. It'll work tomorrow. Probably. There you go. Okay. So I also, rah-rah nature of, actually, I would do one quick thing. I meant to do introducing before I do any further. This group, we're talking to the leaders I mentioned earlier. We're talking to Julia McCarty, Fran Rhodes, and they head up this group called True Texas Project. I want to encourage you, happy listeners, to go to the website. It's just truetexasproject.com, because on the homepage, a very well-deserved list of things people say about it. Because this is, I mean, and I will tell you that I've enjoyed in the show interviewing people from CDF, Citizens Defending Freedom, a bunch of other organizations that are outside of the party process, but they're pulling citizens together. They're making them feel relevant, important, informed, equipped, able to go do something. There are many groups like this, and Citizens Defending Freedom has its niche. Many others do, we've talked to. But this group, I wanted to have you listen to them today, is because they have become a force in Texas. And you mentioned, and Julie, I completely believe that. Every legislator in Austin knows, okay, is True Texas Project calling? What is it they want? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they want to know what you're pushing.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to be counter to you. And it's partly because your network is large enough that if their answer is, yeah, I don't really, I'm not going to help you with that silly, whatever the issue is, that's going to go out to the people who support you. Yeah. So again, tell me, you feel that you go down there with the, to speak to the legislators. You bring talking points from groups you trust. Is this correct, or how do you get? What do you tell them?
We usually write a white paper.
Yes, I write position papers on. We pick a bill that we want to support or oppose or whatever, and we'll write a paper. We'll deliver that to members of the committee because everything's in the hands of the committee. If it doesn't make it out of committee, it doesn't go anywhere. So we focus very much on those committees. We try to encourage them to hold hearings if they're not. And then we try to get people to go and testify at those hearings for whichever side we are on.
Okay. Do you notify and send letters to both sides of the aisle?
Yes, absolutely.
Whoever's on the committee.
Everybody down there. Okay. That's actually really, really, I'm truly impressed. It's a great thing. And so you also, you have these groups around Texas. I've forgotten where we were. I don't know where it was, near A&M. Anyway, one of the groups, don't you have one that's near A&M?
Uh-huh, yeah. Brazos Valley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was actually quite amazing because, the other thing I was struck by spoken a few of the things you've had. These are people who are just, they look like, just average Joe Americans. These are not, they're not necessarily political activists, they're not candidates. They're just Americans.
Isn't that beautiful? That's what it should
it's
be.
It's so beautiful.
We put on nice clothes today to speak with
are.
You. We're just normal blue jean or sweatpants people.
Yeah. And so the other point you're making, though, about these groups, they come, and I talk about this all the time, too, in the show. If you get someone engaged and they hear the message, they are going to go home and say, did you realize that what's happening at the border is this? Or did you realize that the federal government isn't funding Border Patrol, or they're limiting the Border Patrol's capacity to do something? That message goes around in their networks and their networks. I mean, it is, it's kind of the left's worst enemy is informed
people.
The best
networking is honestly the GOP's worst enemy, because we will tell people, did you know when Abbott said this, he's really done nothing? We help people to understand the lingo, the gimmicks, the games, all the stuff that happens in the legislature that, I voted for this, but later I can go back and change it in the record book. So now I didn't vote for that. And no matter who I'm talking to, I can either say I voted for it or I didn't vote for it. And both of it's true.
That's a sad state of affairs. Yeah. On the subject of games and on the border, since you both mentioned it's a big issue with you, a few weeks ago I had Sid Miller on the show, and he was who is our Texas Agricultural Commissioner and very colorful and fun person. Anyway, so it was this Thursday show, and we were talking about, I think it was when the Supreme Court had said that Texas couldn't keep the that the federal government could come and basically take down our efforts at border security, down the netting and all that. And anyway, so I was saying, how Abbott was trying to do this, and it was really quite amazing. Sid Miller who said, "Well, first of all, he had this like almost grin on his face because first of all." The border, the buoys in the river are whatever the number of miles long. They're very short. He said the buoys are a stunt. I wouldn't have said that word. I didn't know for sure, because I do think buoys kind of in the abstract could be a smart idea in a river. If that's how people get across, you've got netting to the bottom. They can't get past it. It's, and kind of in theory, a great idea. And he said a stunt. It's a stunt. The length of them, go ahead.
If it went all 1,250 miles of our Texas border, then yes, it would be very effective, but it doesn't. I forget what the size is, but it's quite small.
It's minuscule, was his point, minuscule. There was a lot of, and I, it's kind of funny, you don't hear politicians say that too often, to be very forthcoming.
Sid is good for that.
Oh yeah, he says exactly what he thinks, which I really like. And actually, since I know you don't dive too much into depth and policies, but this most recent decision by Governor Abbott to sign on to this order that basically said, we mean it this time, this is an invasion. Number one, I think it could happen 3 years ago. I don't
or
think
more.
It could happen. Yeah, he's been there, I don't know, is it like 20
eight.
Years?
No. Well, he's been elected way more than eight, but I think his
he's been
governor,
elected
he's been
three
eight.
Times. So he had 2 4-year terms and he's in his third term.
Yeah, so it wasn't taking action when he could have.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, he likes to say that he is. I mean, he gives talking points all the time, but we have been telling him for years that declare an invasion and then, we have the power to fight if the federal government isn't. And he knows all these things, but he'll declare the invasion and then do nothing. So who cares?
Right, right. It's like we could declare an invasion too. But in fact, I think, anyway, I have a friend who works in Washington who's had been on the show before, and he sent me basically a summary of, you know, here's how you can appear to be declaring an invasion, but you're not really actually doing that. And which was, I acknowledge that where it came from. I just read it in the show. Just, you can make things sound that way. And I think that's another power that groups like yours have, is you're not just advocating change the law, do this, not that, but you're holding people accountable, yes, by pointing out what's not really happening. So don't you get unpopular in some circles?
Oh my gosh, everybody hates us. You haven't heard all the rumors? Come on. There's all kinds of stuff said about us. Most of the GOP doesn't like us, the elected GOP, because we do. We hold them accountable. And in Texas, of course, Republicans have controlled all of the statewide offices for 20-something years. And so in Texas, we have to fight the GOP. We're not fighting the Democrats. The Democrats have the minority. So, we fight the GOP all the time, and they don't like it.
And on that border issue, even with what Governor Abbott is doing now in Eagle Pass, he's not letting people come across the Eagle Pass. But you know what they're being told? Go to the port of entry and enter there. So, you know, they can't cross at Eagle Pass, but they can go a few miles down the road and cross at one of the legal ports of entry. Mm-hmm. So he's not stopped one person from coming into the country illegally. As far as I know, I don't think the governor sent one person back. That's what we want. Zero people coming into the country illegally.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about that, because part of what's happened at the border, there was a recent press conference and Governor Abbott was there, and I think it was, 15 governors signed up to say, yes, they were coming. I'm sure they all came, but 15 had said they would. And it was a really great presentation on media. Yes. My gosh, they mean it this time. Huh. 15 governors. And my next thing I was going to say is, the media controls so much about what the American people think. The media, even conservative media, Breitbart had a big story about, look at this, Governor Abbott's doing this. And he did. I mean, he had a press conference, and he's alleging we're not going to allow the federal government to snip the border wire and all that. But it was a media stunt, it seemed. The media wasn't going to say what the points, for example, Fran, that you just said. So are you in the media a lot trying to get them to speak truth, or what?
The media doesn't really want to give us airtime. So, but that's okay, because we have our network of grassroots people. So the more people talk about it, the bigger our voices. So yeah, the media can't silence all of us.
So what's the size of your group, would you say? The number of, you have no membership dues. I meant to tout this, no membership dues. No, you know, you don't have to, you just come to events or you don't. Is that correct?
Actually, we're so multifaceted, so it's really interesting to me. The people that show up at our different 18 meetings around the state are different from the people that are engaging with us on Facebook. And that's different from the people that are showing up in Austin. I mean, everybody has their niche, I guess, the things they like to do or where they feel comfortable. I have no idea what our numbers are. We don't count any of them. So we have an email list of X number of people, and we have, you know, attendees. It's all different lists, and we just don't keep count.
Actually, that's very healthy. I mean, you know, that was all my thoughts, is how big is this group? Because I think it is. I don't have no basis to say this except just kind of social media perception. It's really big. It's a big group of people.
It is definitely the biggest grassroots organization in Texas. So.
Yeah, and informed people too. I mean, that's the other thing that does happen, unfortunately, on both sides or all over the place in politics. People read a headline, they think they understand an issue, and they will speak about it in very, very dramatic terms. But if you're off on your facts and you read a headline but didn't dive in, then you're part of the problem. You're yes, spreading falsehood. Do you ever try to address correcting what people think about things?
All the time, as much as we can, but you know, it's pretty impossible. People always come to us saying, what do you think about X or Y? And what can we do about it? And, you know, we try to advise them as much as we can, or if they've got a misconception about it, we try to correct them. But, you know, everything has a believability quotient. People may not believe me just because I said it. So that's hard.
And right now it's election season. So most of the rumors we're trying to squelch are, did you know that this awesome candidate that you're supporting, he really did this and this? And I'm like, did you ask him? Did you get the story behind that?
Yeah.
You know, was he really a Democrat last week and now he's running on the G? I mean, really? So You got to go. And that's what we're really good at. We're like, we go right to the source. Don't give me your headlines. Don't give me your rumors. I'm just going to ask this person and see what they say.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, it's another thing the left wing media and the left in this country is very, very talented at is dividing, number one, but also planting seeds of suspicion and doubt. And, you know, in particular, I don't even know if you really touch on national issues. You really focus on Texas.
Focus on Texas and local. Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, I was at a meeting last week, and this woman I do not know was chatting, and she was talking about how her kids are mad at her, or pretty much not speaking to her, because she supports Donald Trump, which we don't have to go off on Trump. But she's telling me this story, and she said, I said to him, she said, you know, her son had something else to say to her, and she said, look, if the house is burning, and a fireman comes in, and he rescues me, and he's pulling me out of the burning house, I don't care what he did in the rest of his life. I really don't care if he had affairs. I don't care if he has tattoos I don't like. All I want is save me from this house. And that's what I want Trump to do. I want him to save this country. I'm not saying you have to accept that as a premise, but there is that notion of the bigger things we are required to do as patriots who save this country. You've got to be able to look past, even if someone has a glitch in their history or a whatever it is in their history that might cause you to doubt them. You've got to get on the bigger path in America, saving America, and in Texas, in saving Texas.
Yes, I would agree.
But the key to saving Texas is the people.
Yes.
We tell people all this
all
the time.
Doesn't matter who's elected.
The Republican Party isn't going to save you. Governor Abbott isn't going to save you. Donald Trump is not going to save you. We could go on and on. It's up to every single one of you and all of us collectively making a change. Because, I mean, literally, our country's house is on fire. Mm-hmm. We have to.
Yes.
We have to put this fire out.
But you know,
out.
If Donald Trump wins, half of the activists are all going to say, okay, I'm done. We got him elected. I don't have to do anything. Donald's going to do it all. And that's just not true. And that's why, like Fran said earlier, you know, we help these people get elected and then they turn on us. Well, because nobody's there holding them accountable. The job never ends.
Never ends. Is exactly right. I do feel like, you know, when Trump had his 4 years and things are pretty good. Now, I would say, I do have a friend who's been on the show many times. He's a very prominent national security expert. And he refers to the Biden administration as a wrecking operation against America. I mean, you run through the issues he's doing on dozens of issues. It is not trying to help. It's a wrecking operation, which I really appreciate. So I hope and think more people have recognized exactly what you said, Fran. It's not one. It's not even a majority. If you have a wonderful president in the White House, a conservative who loves America and freedom and the Constitution, and a majority Senate and House, it is still the power, the levers of power in this country with respect to the media, academia, journalism. There's so much power the leftism seems to hold over large institutions. It gets back to we the people, because I truly think the vast majority of Americans do not want anything that the Biden administration is doing. They want their country back. They want freedom. They want freedom of speech. So in Texas, we have this fabulous, I will confess, my listeners, I didn't grow up in Texas, as I told you many times. I did not grow up in Texas. We came to Texas in the year 2000. We'd been here about 2 weeks, I think. And my husband and I said, I feel like I came home. And okay, I grew up in upstate New York, small town. He grew up in California. Also, in the, you know, rural California, where it's, what was his expression? It's like West Texas. It's, you know, ranches. Oil ranches and farms, something like that. But I mean, we really, there's a spirit here that's very powerful, very, we are self-reliant, we are going to hold on. And I think that spirit of Texas really helps you guys, because I think you, True Texas Project, Texas is full of those kind of people.
Yes. I would agree. We call the training that we were telling you about, all the classes that we offer. Yeah. If you take all five of them, you become a certified true Texan. So you don't have to be Texan born to be a certified true Texan.
We're not.
Neither of us. I was born in California. And so I know that, like,
California.
On Twitter, right? On Twitter, people love to say, you've got this California person trying to teach you how to be a Texan. And they just think they're just slamming me. And I'm like, A, I moved when I was seven, 8 years old. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And B, you know, I've been here since 1994. And it's really, it's an attitude. It is an attitude.
And, you know, even when we were leaving the Washington, D.C. area to come here, one of our kids' teachers at school said, I would have pegged her as a liberal for a lot of reasons, but she said, oh, Texas, everyone loves Texas, that can-do spirit. But wow, even she likes Texas, so it was pretty good. Okay, so I want to turn to you, do some fun things, because I'll tell you that I think that really serious patriots are already, we're only, I know, in February of an election year, and we're already kind of exhausted. I mean, seriously, there's a sense that there's so much to do, candidates to get elected, you know, issues to push, trainings to do, campaigns to run, and people are kind of tired already. I'm not, but I think people, they're feeling burned out. So I love you also add some fun things that you do in True Texas Project. I mean, we softball do. Tournament, yes. For one thing. Talk about the fun things you do, because you make it so people feel like they create friendships, not just
that. Honestly, political. That is my passion. Like, yes, we have to do this work, but if we're not having fun doing it, then, I mean, we're all like-minded. And so many times when you do political, or not, when you do non-political things, you're at work or even with family, you're surrounded by people that don't think like you. And so it's tense. You have to be careful what you say. So why don't we get our like-minded people and go do fun things? So we do. We do coffee hours and lunches and dinners and softball. We're about to start doing dance lessons because we have a big gala coming up. So we're going to invite everybody to learn how to two-step and do some line dancing and, you know, just fun things.
Okay. I printed out your February calendar, but back to that, your gala, you're having training to learn how to do two-step so that you can go to the gala and do it. Okay, that's pretty fun. I do you know how to two-step? Do you guys already know how to do this?
I have done it, but I'm pretty
we'll
rusty.
Be brushing up.
So I'm going to take class.
Well, when we first came to Texas, in fact, then one of our middle child went to TCU. We went to the Billy Bob's. Did you ever go there?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We walked in that place. I saw them doing that dancing. I'm like, oh, I want to learn. First,
so
I'm
fun.
Thinking, oh, I could do that. Then I'm watching for 5 seconds. No, I can't do that. I
mean, you can. You come to our lessons.
you've got to have lessons. Honest to goodness. And it's so darn fun to watch. And the people, they're kind of smiling while they're doing
yeah.
it because it's
oh, yeah,
so
it's fun.
Okay, so you have a gala. You have a softball team. What other fun stuff to get people just other stuff?
Saturday, we're having a Tarrant County social thing at my house. It's called an evening of wine and chocolate. We will have tastings of chocolate dishes and wines paired with them.
Yeah, we've got a game night, like a trivia night at a local restaurant. Just different things.
We
just
did
to get
axe
together
throwing one time.
Axe throwing, yep.
Axe throwing, you actually did that?
Yeah, at one of those restaurants where they're set up to do that. A bunch of people down in College Station did that. It's kind of whatever the local group wants to dream up. A lot of groups do coffees on a regular weekly or monthly basis, whatever. Happy hours, dinners. Sometimes it's just getting together at somebody's house with 6 or 7 couples and everybody brings food.
I will say on that point, I think that building camaraderie among patriots is so important right now
because
of how divisive the left has been.
Yes.
I mentioned that one woman talking to me at some political meeting about her grown kids aren't talking to her because they're mad about Trump. There's a lot of that going around. There's a lot of family division and people, as you mentioned, Julie, going to family gatherings or Thanksgiving, and you're thinking, well, how long can we talk about my favorite movie? I mean, how long can we talk about, you know, dream vacations instead of talking about what is going on in the country? So to build camaraderie outside of just activity, and you feel like, wow, I have friends, they think like I do. Yeah. It's very inviting to people. They don't want to feel like they're alone. And I think that thinkers are very concerned, and they're waiting for others in their world to feel that, to mm-hmm. you know, to relate to that. So love that. So if you had to give, okay, I'm watching a time, we're going to turn to, we have audience Q&A if you'd like, but I want to just ask you, so if someone called you from Kansas or some other state and said, how do I start this? How can I do this? What would you tell them to do?
There's no magic bullet.
It is a huge undertaking, and you have to be passionate about it, and you have to have time. I mean, that's really the bottom line. But I'm constantly looking at my emails or my Facebook or whatever, and I'm looking for people that are talking about topics that I know we all have interest in. So then I ask them to come speak. So it's easy. I mean, we get speakers that'll speak for free. Someone wrote a book and they want to push their book, or they're just trying to get a message out there. So you find a venue. And I mean, I know in the beginning it's more difficult because you don't have funds coming in, but there are restaurants that will give you a room for free. You put it on Facebook or somewhere on social media and say, hey, we're going to have this conversation, and you'll be surprised. People will show up and bring in your speaker and yeah. discuss
it. So it's a draw of a speaker, because I do think that's, you know, if you just think we're all going to talk about tax policy or even border policy, you know, it can just seem like a gripe session.
And oh, gosh. Think, well, I've got Let that me just at tell home. You about that. When we started, okay. we did an open mic night one time, and I was like, we are never doing that again. You Uh-oh. Do not give the mic to random people that don't know when to shut up or you don't know what they're going to say. So you're right. A lot of Tea Parties failed because they became a gripe session with no action. So we avoided that.
But you can get a speaker who's informed, an author or not, mm-hmm. and a topic that I do think the narrow, you know, if you just come and talk about politics, people go, no. But yeah. the many topics.
Issues.
Yeah. So what other things we think would attract people, what kind of issues would attract people to a new meeting? I really want people around the country to try to replicate this. I think it's the coolest thing.
Right now, the border is, I think, top on any American's mm-hmm. mind, no matter where you live, because it's everybody's issue. So that's always a big one. Pro-life is a big one.
And a lot of the people that speak to us have national organizations.
Yeah.
So like Heritage Action is speaking in Tarrant, I think it's Tarrant County this month. Well, they're all over the nation. They'll send a speaker to you. So there's national pro-life. Or if you have a politician, somebody elected that is on your side, that is one of the good ones, and I would caution that because a lot of times you think they're one of you and they aren't. But if you know and you can verify that somebody's good, they'll speak. They want an audience, right?
There's something with what's his name? Ronnie Jackson tomorrow night, isn't there?
Yes, I'm so excited
tomorrow.
About that.
Yeah.
And then we have Keith Self on Friday the 23rd up in Collin County.
He's my congressman, just saying.
Well,
yeah,
he
so he's good.
There.
Yeah. And so Ronnie Jackson, so you find people who are on board with you.
Yes.
And then I would think they would love, I mean, any member of Congress would love to find a local group that's especially outside of party, you know, structure. But these are patriots, people who care.
Well, let me tell you the difference between what we do, though, and what a lot of people do with a town hall. So when we bring in Ronnie Jackson or Keith Self, or we just had Beth Van Dyne, congressman, it's not just a, you're so awesome and everything you do is right. It's, why did you vote this way on that bill? You know, like they're in the hot seat. It's not just a, okay. yeah.
I'm laughing because I had Beth Van Dyne on my show right after the vote to take out Kevin McCarthy. Yeah, I happen to be on the side of thinking I just want him. I liked how the vote came out. She did not at that time. But we had a very healthy conversation.
Yeah,
yeah it was very good. So, okay, we offer our audience, and so while you're thinking, if you do have a question, there's a microphone over there. I want to just quick tout for our listeners, because we get up to the end and I forget to do this. Very quickly for our listeners, I want to tout three quick things in our coming up shows. One is Rick Green, who is a founder of Patriot Academy, is coming in next week, and he's going to talk. He was here several months ago. He's going to talk about what the latest things they're doing, and this is just a great organization that basically tries to teach Americans. It's called Patriot Academy. You will be more of a patriot by going through his class, understanding not just memorizing terms of the Constitution or provisions, but what it means and how it applies and how it's relevant today and other aspects of America's founding. So Rick Green. The following week, Liz Collin, and she is the Minneapolis former TV host, a news host, who lost her job after the George Floyd incident because she was telling the truth about what happened in the George Floyd incident. She wrote a book called They're Lying, and she also emceed or was a moderator of a movie called The Fall of Minneapolis. So she was a TV news host, lost her job. Her husband was the president of the police union, lost his job, same thing, because they were telling the truth about what happened in the George Floyd incident. If you have not seen The Fall of Minneapolis, I cannot urge you strongly enough to understand the facts around that case. She's coming in, and I have to tell you, one other amazing thing happened. Just this great thing when I get these shows going, people reach out. So there is a doctor in Texas who was working at one of the children's hospitals around here. And it was prior to the time the hospital had committed to Attorney General Paxton, they were going to stop doing transgender surgery on small children. And they said they were going to stop. And then this doctor is there and realized they didn't stop. And then the Texas legislature passed a bill saying you can't do that in Texas. The hospital continued doing it. So he became a whistleblower. He told his story about what was actually happening inside the hospital. And of all amazing things, after being a whistleblower, who knocked on his door was the FBI. No joke. So he's coming on sometime in March. We're going to figure out the exact date. But I mean, when I talk about the, you know, understanding the issues, understanding the conduct of our federal government, for the FBI to go after a whistleblower who's just telling what I saw at the hospital about transgender surgery, why that could possibly have been in the purview of a legitimate or legitimate role. The FBI is unclear, but we'll hear more from him. So those shows come up, a bunch of other great ones. We do offer our audience a chance to ask questions. And one more thing before I turn to the audience, which is I want to quickly tell you, I told you last week I was very blessed in this race for RNC Committeewoman for the state of Texas. And if you do you have that thing, and not the, I mean, you just have the runner across the bottom. Anyway, it's Debbie G for RNC. I urge you to go to that. Debbie G for RNC is the digit for, Debbie G, digit, the digit for RNC.com. Please go there, check out our endorsements. Debbie G for RNC. Last week, Turning Point USA endorsed my campaign, which is completely wonderful. I shared last week, and then just yesterday, I received the endorsement of Harmeet Dhillon. Let's put her up, and I'll tell you who she is. If you do not know who she is, Harmeet Dhillon, she actually ran for when there was going to be an election. Ronna McDaniel was running to be the RNC chair yet again. The vote was in January, basically a year ago right now. Harmeet ran against her and got the second most votes. She didn't, honestly, Ronna kind of ran. Ronna clearly won that race, and this is not a race you can fix. It's just simply the members of the RNC voting. But in any case, Ronna won that a year ago, and Harmeet, though, ran at that time. If you didn't hear the news, Ronna McDaniel stepped down 2 days ago. She's no longer the chair of the RNC, or she's given her notice. She will roll out of that position shortly. That'll be coming up an election for the new chair of the RNC. So I feel happy and blessed. I've actually saw Harmeet at a meeting a few days last week, and they are just she's just on fire. She's one of us. She's a serious patriot. She sees the condition of America. She's in the fight to save for America. So we're very blessed by that endorsement. And there you go. So that's what I want to share with you. So now we turn. I don't know if we have an audience. They're all looking at me funny. Do you guys have any questions? Because I have. Oh, good. We do. There you go. Wait for the microphone. And there you go. Speak right in the microphone, please.
Debbie, thank you so much for introducing these ladies to me. Love what you do. Refresh my memory. I'm so proud of Texas for busing our illegal immigrants to New York and other places where they virtue signal with their sanctuary cities. And then when these people come, you know, please, federal government, bail me out. My son lives in New York City, and a lawless city has become a lot more dangerous. I just was wondering if True Texas Project was involved in that brilliant decision.
No, we can't take credit for that. And I actually have mixed emotions about that
move.
I do, because on the one hand, I really like that it gets the media's attention. So now people are more aware of what's going on. And I like that they're having to deal with the problems that everybody thinks, well, that's Texas's problem or Arizona's problem. So that's good in an educational standpoint. It's bad in that you're taking these people, moving them into the interior where they'll never be seen again. So we need them to not be in America. We don't need to help them get further into America.
And do you realize Texans are paying about $1,400
yes.
per person?
It's costing
to
us a
take them
load.
Out of Texas. It would cost a lot less to
just
send them south
right
across
back.
The river.
No one's got the balls to do it.
Yeah.
So
that would be true. I was gonna. No one. It's amazing. No one has the courage, and there are people who are running for Congress saying, yeah, if I get in there, we're going to send them all back. And I think that is, it sounds in a kind of red meat crowd. It sounds, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I actually do think intelligent articulation and advocacy for the idea that if you came here illegally, it's not mean to make you leave. It's not mean to send you back. And you can do it humanely. You can make sure to pack a lunch, put them on a bus, whatever it is. But they've got to go home. And I think once that message goes out, the caravans will slow down. And until that goes out, yeah, they aren't going to stop.
Totally agree.
Yep. And so please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I would like to ask you first, what is the reach that you have geographically with your organization at this point? And secondly, did you actually watch Keith Self and Governor Abbott explain to us how Biden's not doing his job, but never took responsibility for the fact that it's time for us Texans to take over our own business? And so I was wondering, when you talk about accountability, have they been called yet about basically just making a big show with, you know, 12 to 15 governors who all went to the trouble to travel all the way down to South Texas to show America that they're on board? We have support to take our own border. And I want to know, how do we hold them accountable?
Hmm. Okay, this is a topic that we've been fighting literally since inception, the border. I mean, since inception of, in 2009, when the Tea Party started. And all we ever get are the dog and pony shows. So you're not alone in your frustration. We hold them accountable all the time, but it's gonna take more people standing up and demanding more. And luckily, the Army grows continuously. I mean, we started with just one little corner of Northeast Tarrant County, and now we are statewide, and we do have influence statewide, but we have to keep growing those numbers, and everybody in their own pockets has to be pushing back. Keith Self has to hear from you. Greg Abbott has to hear from you, and it not just you, but they have to hear from everybody, and the more pressure they get. Politicians only respond to fear, the fear of not being reelected. They have to hear from their constituents.
I'll add to that. They respond to fear of not being reelected or fear of not getting campaign donations. I'm telling you, money.
Go hand in hand.
Yeah. If they realize I'm going to lose money, then all of a sudden they're interested. Absolutely.
And remember,
true.
Abbott won his last primary election with 60-some% of the vote in a race with three other
fantastic
quality candidates.
And Abbott still
and
won.
People still voted for Greg Abbott. So there's a lot of people out there that think he's doing the right thing because they don't know. They don't know the difference.
So I'd like, before we run out of time, I would just like to say that it is election season and we have candidate recommendations on our website for over 40 counties in Texas. Now, Texas is huge. We have 254 counties. We've got, you know, almost 25% of them.
I counted 50 counties the other day.
Okay, so we're up to 50 now. So it's hard. It's hard to know who to vote for on judge races or commissioners and these obscure things that we don't really know about. But we've done the interviews. We've done the homework. We could have told you who to vote for governor. And I wish more people would have listened and we wouldn't have Abbott today and the border would be closed. But they didn't. So go to us now and look at our recommendations and maybe we can make a difference.
Yeah, I saw your recommendations. And again, the website is truetexasproject.com. I think you were also on Facebook sharing some of the recommendations of Grassroots America, We the People. Weren't they? They were up on your Facebook page,
no,
I think.
It's a totally separate organization.
Okay. I mean, I know they are, but I thought, okay, in any case, they also do those kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you do that, and you're right. The hardest races for people to decide are the unknown. I mean, they don't hear big public speeches and big ads on television, and they need someone who's got the time to dive in and do it. So I thank you for doing that. And it is, I mean, when you get to the voting booth, it's too late. Who is the right judge here? Way too late for that. Okay, so again, I love the idea of people trying to replicate what you do. They can check out truetexasproject.com. What if you live in Podunk, Texas, wherever that is? How would you find something to do?
We have a new podcast.
We have a new podcast.
So
Sorry.
We always have people that are coming to us saying, will you open in my community? Well, most of the time it's expensive. Like you have to have the venue and you have to bring speakers and there's travel and all these things. And so we can't go to every little community and open up a True Texas project. So we launched our very first podcast last week. And we're gonna do them once a month where we're bringing the speaker onto our set. And we'll talk about the action items. We'll talk about the legislative issues, the election issues, so that no matter where you are in Texas, grab your friends, grab your family, and you have your own little mini True Texas Project meeting in your house.
I meant to ask you, I'm so sorry, I meant to have that topic of your new podcast. Yeah. So you just have to go to truetexasproject.com to find it. Is that correct?
Actually,
how do you find
it? It's not on our website yet.
But it will be. Okay. How do you find it?
If you go to our website and link, you can link from our website to YouTube, and it's on our YouTube channel, but it's also on Rumble and Apple and Spotify. We just don't have those links up yet.
And it's called TTP at Home.
TTP at Home.
That's a good name, TTP at Home. All right. Well, you both do so much for Texas, for America. I thank you both. And also, thank you for coming in. I know you have both have very busy schedules.
Like,
so thank you so much.
You do. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. I'm glad
to
have you. Okay. My last closing point I want to say, if you're listening to this on any other outlet, especially if you can't see it, go to our website, AmericaCanWeTalk.org. AmericaCanWeTalk.org. Every show, interview, blog post, everything we do is there. Please go check it out. I appreciate you doing that very much. I also want to give a thank you every show to Brighteon TV. It is Brighteon.tv. They carry all sorts of great shows. They're not on mainstream news. They're shows like mine, but they have great, great hosts there. So check out. And thank you from me to Brighteon TV. And also, I also want to thank Krista Branch. When you hear that music, which I hear actually when the show was on Salem Radio, and I would hear the producer walking down the hall humming my song, I Am America, that tells you how catchy it is. But her music, I'm America, which is kind of the theme music of this show, is by Krista Branch. She is sings it. Her husband wrote both the lyrics and the music. And it's just a fabulous song, and it captures the spirit of the show, which is You Are America. Whoever stands up and speaks up and gets involved, gets in the arena, you're America. So thank you for listening. I'm Debbie Georgiadis. Our show is America Can We Talk. I do this show to speak truth about America because America matters. And I will talk to you next time.
America Can We Talk? Truth about America.